This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is the Breakfast Grill. Imagine working in an industry where one day the price of your key commodity goes from US $20 to almost negative $40 in a day. Sounds impossible, but not if you're in the oil and gas business, which saw this wild price swing in mid-April. So joining me this morning is Tian Chet Chai, the executive director of the soon-to-be ace-listed Reservoir Link, to tell us how the company is maneuvering in these challenging times. Now, good morning, Tian, and thank you for joining us on the line. Now, I know Reservoir Link is an oil and gas company involved in the life cycle of a well, but what does this mean to a novice like me? What do you do and how important is your business in this oil and gas supply chain?
Reservoir Link is basically an upstream services company. So we provide well services to our clients, such as Petronas, Shell, Exxon. The core product when we started the company was doing perforating. Perforating is a process that you run an explosive gun to deploy the shaft charge into the well. So what the shaft charge do is it perforate piercing through the production for this reservoir connectivity so that your oil or gas well can flow into your production tubing and flow into your downstream, into your refinery.
And how difficult or challenging is this part of business? Like, who do you compete with? And do you have any indication of your market share?
Right now, perforating in slick line, deployed type of perforating per se, I would say our market share about maybe 10, ranging about 10 to 20% in Malaysia. As far as a local company is concerned, we are ahead of our competitors, but there is still challenges between, those MNC, those are bigger competitors of ours.
So when you mean international names, is it names like Baker or Halliburton? Those are your international competitors?
Yeah, that's correct.
And for the local guys, would it be players like Delium or even Dialog or USMA? Are those your local competitors?
Yes, USMA, Delium, Dialog, those listed company, those not listed ones such as Vantage Oilfield, Jewel Services.
Okay, I'm going to come back to the competition later on and about margins. But I want to ask you about the impact of COVID-19.
A bit of delay on the logistics side, whereby there is during the MCO some of the logistic delay moving between East and West Malaysia. But the most challenging part is crew change, where is for example the Sarawak state government is enforced a 14 days quarantine. So our crew actually need to be quarantined before they go offshore and quarantine when they come back from offshore. So that will be the delay. And in terms of Mauritania, because the country is locked down, there's no flight coming in and out. And Petronas actually issued a force majeure or suspension of contract until later of this year or next year. So that is the challenges that we are facing during COVID. Fortunately, there is none contract that is terminated. It's all delayed by a month or two, except Mauritania one is delayed until later this year or next year.
So we know you want to list, but why? Is it just to buy the well testing equipment, which will cost you a total of 17 million ringgit out of the IPO proceeds of 23.4 million ringgit? How important is it for Reservoir Link to have this piece of equipment?
Oh, in terms of well test equipment, we have a contract called lightweight well testing with Petronas. This contract is designed in such a way that at the end of the 5 years, we should have our own full set of well test equipment. So we will buy the equipment gradually to during this 5 years contract so that we will improve our profitability. Right now, when we start, we are dependent on our supplier, Petrotechnical, which is a local company, local entity of SGS. They supply all the equipment and we supply some of the personnel, and once we have the equipment, then our profitability will increase in this segment.
So what kind of increase in profitability are you expecting? Because you're going to spend not a small sum, 17 million ringgit out of the total 23.4 million ringgit that you're raising from this IPO. So what kind of return on investment are you expecting?
So right now, it's only 5% that we are making like from the equipment side. So if we supply our own equipment, our GP will increase to 30 to 40%.
So you can make back the cost of the machine in what, 5 years? Easily?
5 years possible, but our depletion is spread over 10 years. And the machine doesn't, the usable life is more than 5 years. Because like you keep maintaining it and you can just use it over and over again for future contract. It's not something that you will deteriorate over time.
And what about your long-standing relationship with Petrotechnical, which is a key supplier to Reservoir Link? Because in a way, you're now going into direct competition with. Are you worried about a potential fallout? Because last year, Petrotechnical accounted for 21% of your supplies, so it's significant. So is there the possibility that you might lose this critical supplier?
We are working on a mutual understanding before starting of this contract. This contract was bid together with Petrotechnical as a supplier. They are well aware that the contract was structured in this way. Further to that, we are only raising funds to buy a full package, one full package right now. And if there is a concurrent job that we need more than one package, we will still work with Petrotechnical exclusively to supply. So I don't foresee that relationship will go anytime soon.
And let's move on to the overall oil and gas industry because we have to talk about prices. So like I said earlier on, it recovered from the lows we saw in April, but still far from the US $60 per barrel we saw at the end of last year. Now, oil prices, I think, hovering around $40 a barrel for Brent. Now, being in this business for some time, give us your views. Is the worst over and where do you see oil prices heading for the next few months?
I wouldn't say I am very expert in how the oil is traded. We are in the service industry. We look at how the oil price could affect our businesses. As far as Reservoir Link is concerned, majority of our business is in the production phase of the life of the well. We are not directly affected by the oil price. However, of course, when the oil price is down, our operators such as Petronas will be affected. They will be cutting back their spending. In view of oil price, the negative oil price is purely speculative. It's trading that they can't deliver the contract and they have to sell at negative because they cannot take physical contract of delivery of oil, whereby you need storage. So those traders have no storage. They have to sell all the oil. That is, to me, is a one-off. And you already see the oil price has rebound. OPEC Plus, they are committed to cut the oil further in June and July.
But the point is, we do see the oil majors, and this is everyone from Petronas to Exxon to Aramco coming out to say that they are cutting spending, like you say. So Petronas alone, which accounts for 60% of your revenue, has said they're cutting capex by at least 16% to 40 billion ringgit this year. And I think it's probably going to be to the same tune in 2021. So what kind of impact are you going to expect then?
We have not seen the impact yet as we speak. Like I mentioned earlier, our business is on the production side. Even they are cutting the capex, they are not drilling the new well, but the existing well, they still need to maintain it. They need to maintain the production in order to keep up with the country revenue. Like Petronas, all their well, whereby they have production. So for instance, if you are producing 100,000 barrels a day today, and the reservoir is continued to deplete, you will have to add in more perforating zone to maintain your production. Otherwise, the country revenue will go down as well. There is an impact, but I don't see there is a huge impact for Reservoir Link in near future. And our contract is continue on to 2021.
So what is your current order book now? I mean, does it actually work that way? Do you have jobs that are secure?
Our contract is all umbrella and call out. There is no value fixed. There is a value fixed to the contract, but it's not disclosed to us by Petronas. So we don't have a order book value per se, but we have a contract that lasts for the next 12 to 18 months.
So in essence, these contracts are more just a form of saying that you're pre-qualified to bid, right? And there is no assurance of any future revenue. Is that the case?
For the umbrella contract, yes, that's the case. For the call-out contract, you can say that there's no assurance unless there's activity.
So because all prices are so volatile, does this then mean your clients might say, okay, you know, there's a hesitation to ask you all to bid?
Not exactly. But it's all activity driven. Unless my client quickly stop their production, so my job will be always there. Not possible that Petronas will stop production tomorrow because the revenue still need to come in.
So let's compare, let's say, the first 6 months of this year versus the first 6 months of 2019. Have you seen a decline in the number of bids that they've asked supply chain vendors like y'all to participate in?
No, I have not seen a decline. As a matter of fact, we are actively bidding. Clients are market survey pouring in every week, and we are answering bids and every week.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Tian Chet Chai, Executive Director of Reservoir Link. Up next, is there a flaw in their business model and why list now? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where this morning in the hot seat is Tian Chet Chai, Executive Director of Reservoir Link. Just a moment ago, we were talking about oil prices and is there any visibility when it comes to contracts? Now, just earlier, we were talking about the nature of umbrella and call contracts. And when I think about it, does this mean that there's a flaw in Reservoir Link's business model? Because in the sense that you as a company, you bear all the risks, right? You need to have the capital outlay to buy the equipment, like the 17 million ringgit that you're spending to bid for jobs, which then depreciates on your books. You also have headcount costs, so a lot of fixed costs. But yet, at the same time, there's no certainty of contractual jobs.
Majority of oil and gas contract is all core and umbrella. Unless you are talking about some fabrication where there is a milestone where they pay you, you complete certain percentage of the job. Like I mentioned before, the activity is always there. So we are very confident that the revenue will still coming in unless Petronas shut down all their production tomorrow.
But with this poor, although albeit has improved, I'll say that, oil price outlook compounded by COVID-19, is this flaw heightened? Because when any of the oil majors, which Reservoir Link has an umbrella contract with, calls you into bid, surely it will be very competitive. I mean, your other peers, whether it is Delium, USMA, Dialog, they're also, I'm sure, rushing to secure contracts. So do you expect margin squeeze going forward? Because I looked at your numbers, gross profit margins are currently 25%, which is pretty good. But is that sustainable?
Yeah, I will foresee that the margin is sustainable. Yeah, there is a margin squeeze. Of course, Petronas will come to us and expect that everybody will fight for the price. But in terms of perforating, our competitors, there is only 5 or 6 competitors in Malaysia. We are one of the incumbents. I'm very confident that we can maintain the profit margin.
Despite the oil majors, like I mentioned, every one of them cutting down in terms of cost, doesn't this cost cutting flow down the entire vendor supply chain? You must be affected in one way or another.
Of course, you're affected in one way or another. It depends on how you price your price to win and how you maintain your cost base. And we are a local Malaysian company as compared to some MNC. Our overhead is much lower. So there's still room for us to maneuver.
And talking about Petronas, is there a risk that one day they will change their policies as they undertake considerable cost cutting too? So we're talking about liberalization and allowing foreign suppliers to operate in Malaysia without a local partner. You know, they can bypass you and go straight to Petronas. After all, you have been a beneficiary of their local vendor program, unless you're saying that you always manage to outbid the MNCs.
I'm not saying that an MNC is always too high. They can be competitive as well. But we are not 100% dependent on an MNC. For example, on the perforating side, we buy material from manufacturing companies such as Hunting Titan, Geodynamics, Dyna Energetic. These are pure product manufacturer. They are not service company. They won't come into Malaysia and compete with us. And you use their product, and we actually provide the services ourselves. We are not a company that is just doing agency as an agent, whereby the agency can go away. We actually operate the services by ourselves. And we're constantly looking to expand our reach in terms of acquire some technological product, such as maybe like we're doing production enhancement. We have our own specialty chemical. This way we grow in that area so that the business can be sustainable.
The other risk I see is Forex, because there clearly is a mismatch. Since 65% of your purchases are in US dollar, but yet only 35% of the revenue is in that currency. This must be particularly bad for profit when US dollar appreciates very suddenly. So do you hedge?
We manage it. Some of our contract is actually billed in US dollars as well. It's just that in Malaysia, we cannot receive in US dollars. So far, we don't foresee any huge exchange rate loss. We are quite careful. We don't hedge a lot. We do hedge a little bit.
And I want to come back to why you want to list on ACE. You know, why not wait for profit to hit 20 million ringgit over 3 years to then list on the main board where visibility is so much better?
Well, we started the listing journey before we have qualified for main board. Actually, if we look back in the history of Reserveling, during the last downturn, we actually took a hit after we acquired a company called MCDO because of the huge depreciation in there. Otherwise, we will have enough 3 year continuous profit to go to the main market. But again, we have been prepared for this listing for such a long time until the COVID-19 hit in March. It will have cost the company more if we stop the IPO and wait. So I'd rather save all the expenses for prolonging the process for our investor rather than wait. And by listing, actually, to raise fund, and also it's a better profile for us to grow even further. Easier access to raising fund for expansion, maybe outside of Malaysia. That's the main reason why we want to list.
So it's not because you think that the 9 million profit you achieved in 2019 is not sustainable into 2020, considering the weak operating environment?
No. The only reason we want to list is to expand. I mean, if we are not planning to grow and expansion, there's no reason at all for us to list.
But then why are you then cashing out? Because after all, you and the other substantial shareholders are reducing your stakes post-IPO. Even yourself, you're walking away with, 13 million ringgit as your stake comes down to 13% from 21%?
Well, we are all investors in business. If you look back in the track record in Reserveling, over the past 10 years we are in business, we have never really cashed out anything or take any dividend out of the company. By looking at the retained earning in the book, it's all the, all the earning is there. So in any business, when you do a listing exercise, you expect shareholder to cash out a little bit for the effort and investment they put in over the past 10 years. It's not like we are cashing out and run away. We're still going to be here to grow the company.
And listing is targeted for 15th of July, right? And the book's just closed. But tell me why someone should subscribe for the shares. What am I going to get? Because it has to be either price appreciation or dividend yield, or if I'm lucky, maybe both.
Yeah. Generally, in S market, you're looking at price appreciation. So S market is for growth. Majority of the earning we get will be invested back to the company for growth. Appreciation wise, as you can see, majority of research house giving us a price target of average about maybe 47, 46 cents. And we are our foundation is very strong. We have a very strong management. The company is going for growth. There's no doubt about it. We have proven ourselves since the last downturn that we survived in the market where a lot of our peer or other company went bust. To me, it's the market have confidence in us.
Or is it because you have confidence in yourself? Because if I look at the IPO price, it's 41 cents. So it's coming to the market at a price earnings ratio of 12 times. Not exactly cheap when I compare Reservoir Link to other small, mid-sized oil and gas companies like Dayang, Uzma, Delium, which are trading between 6 to 8 times PE. Unless you're telling me that the 9 million profit you achieved in 2019 is going to what, double or go up by 50%, what kind of growth are you looking at?
Yeah, we are looking at growth. Unfortunately, at this juncture, I can't comment our future earning, but you can see that it's going to be a strong growth.
Is that why you have a rather ambitious IPO price of 41 cents then?
Yes.
On that note, thank you for your time today. I wish you good luck on listing day. Joining me on The Breakfast Grill was Tian Chet Chai, Executive Director of Reservoir Link. I am Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.